Love is in bloom for Brett Bunnell and Janice Sanders.
They got along really great from the beginning.
Brett was just looking for love and acceptance.
But in this family, the roots run deep.
What's going on? What's he doing here?
Things changed in the household.
The dream of being happily married, I think that was very short-lived.
And what you sow, you must also reap.
We're behind on our bills.
Things seem to turn to the dark side.
You can come with us if you want. It's up to you.
He just couldn't take it anymore.
Love may be blind and marriage bliss, but divorce is murder. While most people drive for miles to see the modern architecture of Columbus in southern Indiana, Brett Bunnell prefers the green spaces.
Brett grew up on a farm just working on tractors and doing that kind of thing. He was a grounds person, so most of his job consisted of mowing lawns, picking up leaves, weeding, cleaning. He was very serious in a way. He wanted to do things right.
Good job, Brett.
Thank you.
And he had just a very good heart. He was a very warm person.
And an ambitious one. To get ahead, Brett takes a second job at a local big box store.
He was very financially stable. If you're going to get ahead in life, he knew that you had to work to get there. And he was very headstrong, really good worker. I mean, strong as an ox.
And this is where he meets Janice Sanders.
Hey.
Hi.
Brett, right?
Yeah, Janice.
She was always kind-hearted and very loving, very caring.
You want one?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. It's plenty in the front.
She did have an outgoing personality. Friendly and would carry on. Had a good outlook in life and everything.
He was socially awkward. He was kind of shy and bashful. Never really paid any attention to the women. So he really never dated anybody.
Aren't you gonna try it?
Of course.
Well, if you want some more, you know where to find me.
Okay.
It doesn't take long for sparks to literally start flying.
She was selling meat or selling the cookers, and she threw out the coals, and somehow there was a fire in the trash can, and they was fighting the fire.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Oh, oh, oh.
Watch it, watch it.
Oh. Well, thanks.
Hope those were the samples, because they were so terrible.
They got along really great from the beginning. She thought he was really a good-hearted man.
I think Brett was just looking for love and acceptance. You know, the simple pleasures, you know, that we all want.
But there is more to Janice than Brett knows. Janice has a daughter, Mary, from a previous marriage. She just couldn't make it work with her ex-husband, Charlie.
Calm down!
He didn't like her coming up to see me with Mary. He controlled her time.
That's it, I've had it. Mary, come on. Come on, we're going.
She thought she could just do better on her own and wanted to move on with her life.
Lucky for Janice, Brett loves kids.
He truly loved that young girl.
He acted like it was his own child because he had none of his own.
Janice is impressed by how quickly Brett takes to her little girl. And she's also surprised by the size of the house he lives in.
This is all yours?
Yeah. The land, the barn.
Oh, yeah?
He bought his great-grandmother's house. Really old farmhouse. Really nice place.
He felt very special that he had a house like that.
I could do a lot with this place.
Janice thinks all the house needs is a woman's touch, as does Brett. But there is one more test for him to pass. No one gets anywhere with Janice until her sister, Betty, approves.
Family was the top priority. We had three brothers and us two sisters, and we all were very close-knit family. He was a nice guy. Brett was a very caring and giving person.
Everyone agrees, Brett and Janice are the perfect match. And in the blink of an eye, they make it official.
I really think people were surprised that he met her and decided to get married and engaged, and it just all happened very fast.
Cheers. Cheers.
Just months after their first date, they get married.
It was a big day. It was a beautiful day. He was kind of beaming. He was pretty happy.
When Brett got married, I think his younger siblings was proud for him, was glad that he got married.
All the family was there. My mother, my stepfather, all the brothers, sisters, wives. It was a beautiful day.
You look so beautiful.
Thank you.
But family relations...
Have you met my brother?
No.
...can be a bit prickly.
Eric, put down the beer. Come and meet your new brother-in-law.
Beer. Yeah, take it easy. I'm coming.
Meet Brett.
I hope you know what you're getting yourself into.
Nothing can darken Brett's day.
Anyways, cheers to us.
He was very happy because he found love, and Janice seemed happy too. It was their day.
Once settled in, Janice decides to become a full-time homemaker.
She did quit her job after they got married.
She'd get up every morning, fix Brett's lunch for him to take to work.
Looks delicious.
Go wash your hands.
He enjoyed the so-called new married life thing.
She always had dinner fixed on time.
That looks so good.
She enjoyed cooking.
So healthy.
Go wash your hands.
And dinner's not the only thing Janice takes care of.
She would come to pick up his check every 2 weeks. And I do believe from what he said that she gave him an allowance.
So, do you have your check for me?
Sure thing.
Great.
And she pretty much ran the household, ran the finances.
Can you leave me a few bucks?
Oh, sure. Yep.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Felt natural, felt very natural to him. I think Brett was fine with it.
But things don't stay fine. Not long after they're married, Brett finds an unexpected guest in his home.
Smells like my favorite.
He just needs a place to stay for a bit.
What's going on? What's he doing here?
Brett, he's Mary's father. He's like family to me.
And Brett knows how important family is to Janice.
Is everything okay?
Yes.
Owen?
Oh, thanks.
Brett, being as kind-hearted as he was, decided to let him move in there with them for a while so he could get back on his
feet. Brett would give you the shirt off his
back. I don't really think it was a good decision for him to let him move
in. Psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser and forensic psychologist Brian Russell agree with Betty.
Janice inviting Charlie to come live under the same roof with her and Brett is insane. There's no way in the world, from a relationship standpoint, that dynamic is going to work.
I think it's puzzling that Brett agreed to this living situation. It makes me wonder if he feels like he has to placate Janice or give in to her in order to keep her.
I think Brett's acquiescence to Charlie coming and living with them is evidence of Brett's lack of maturity and lack of experience in relationships. And I think that Janice is taking advantage of that.
Janice is pretty much running the show and the household. She's taking care of all of the finances. She makes all of the decisions in the house. And while I actually don't think it's a problem, if it works for the couple, it does worry me that at some point that Brett could feel emasculated or resentful. It could destroy their relationship.
Shortly after their wedding, Brett and Janice's love nest is a little too crowded.
It put a lot of stress on things.
Hey.
They had no privacy with the ex-husband being there.
Go get him, Tiger.
Lily? Did you get it?
God.
Tiger Lily.
It was a very, very odd relationship, and I spoke to Brett. I said, Brett, this is not normal.
What the hell is he doing here?
He's staying with us for a while.
Brett, how could you put up with this?
Dad, let me explain, okay? He's not staying here for a long time.
This is just crazy. Either you throw him out or I will.
Brett, don't let him push you around like that. You said he could stay.
Brett is forced to take a side, his father or his wife.
I think it's best if Charlie leaves.
I can't believe you.
And he chooses his father.
I don't imagine she was very happy about it.
It's a decision that effectively ends the honeymoon, and a whole lot more.
You could tell the look in his eyes, he's changed.
Kind of threw things for a loop.
Brett and Janice Bunnell are just months into a new marriage when Janice allows her ex-husband, Charlie, to move in. Only to have Brett's father send him away.
Brett was a lot happier that his dad kicked out the ex-husband, but that kind of threw things for a loop.
From now on, you're sleeping on the couch.
I don't think Brett wanted it, but I don't think he would have said anything bad to her because she ran the show.
And before he can work his way back into her good graces, tragedy strikes.
Our father passed away from prostate cancer and heart problems. And 5 weeks later, our mother passed away. It was quite traumatic to lose both of them that close together.
Family is important at times like this, but the siblings' unity is about to be tested.
Janice was beneficiary over my stepfather's insurance, so Janice got the insurance money from him. There was quite a dispute.
Especially with Janice's brother, Eric.
Janice, is that right?
It's what he wanted, Eric.
He was accusing Janice of taking money out. I don't know, I guess he was just expecting more money.
The hell with you all?
She was pretty upset over it because we had been so close.
Sadly, soon after, Brett suffers a loss of his own.
Brett's mom developed breast cancer, and she didn't live very long at all.
Oh, it knocked him down. It was a big blow to him. It was a very hard blow that day to him.
But even this dark cloud has a tiny silver lining.
Whoa.
What?
Brett's mother's insurance pays out a hefty sum.
What? This is great.
And Janice knows just what to do with it. Start her own company.
It was Janice's idea to start the embroidery business. She had always been interested in running some kind of business of her own and something to do with crafts.
The inheritance isn't quite enough. She needs Brett to invest with her.
This machine is state.
But of course, she won't do anything without her sister, Betty, including starting a new business.
Hey, Brett. Brett, come and see this. This is the machine I want.
What is it?
It's the embroidery machine.
Oh, it's quite expensive.
Oh, come on, Brett. I've wanted this since I was a little girl.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be a great investment. You guys should do it.
Yes, and we can make extra money, and I can stay home and work.
Okay, if you really want to.
I do. I really do.
All right.
Let's do it then.
Yes.
He seemed happy. He was kind of gung-ho to get this business off the ground.
And right away, it looks very promising.
The business was going really well. We were doing great. It was turning out very successful.
They're making sales, but after a few months, their profit margin just isn't high enough.
They were just having growing pains, struggling with the business.
All of a sudden, money just started to drain.
We're behind on our bills.
I know, I haven't paid them. I needed to buy some supplies first.
Brett was very by the book. If you owed somebody, you paid them.
You need to spend money to make money.
What money? We haven't even cleared a cent yet.
We will, it's fine. Don't worry, I'll figure it out.
It was very stressful for him. I didn't think that they were really making any money.
I don't think she was very good with handling finances. I think it aggravated him to some degree, but Brett was such a good-natured person, he didn't, you know, step on anybody's toes or didn't get anybody's way.
Hi.
Hi. You got your check for me?
Sure thing.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a little money.
Not this time, we've got bills to pay.
Okay.
I'll see you later.
If you say so.
The financial burden, coupled with their grief, starts taking its toll.
One of the biggest causes of conflict in relationships are financial problems. And the problems are actually Janice's fault. Now, granted, he said yes to it all, but it has been her taking the active role with the money.
There's going to be some tremendous resentment on his part when he realizes how much better off in life he and his family could have been were it not for him once again acquiescing to something that Janice wanted to do.
There has been so much grief in this family, both on Brett's side and Janice's side, that it makes sense that it begins to create emotional strain on each of them. And when things like that happen, a couple really needs to pull together. But because Brett and Janice have had underlying issues about control and money, they're not pulling together, they're pulling apart.
And soon, there's an even bigger challenge for the couple to face.
There was a house fire, and it pretty much destroyed everything.
Brett's beautiful home goes up in flames.
He was devastated.
It was his great-grandmother's house, and there was a lot of sentimental value in that house.
You could tell that they were upset, genuinely upset over the fire.
Their embroidery machinery survives the flames, but all their other cherished possessions are gone. The Bunnells move into a rental house and try to get their lives in order as they wait for their insurance money to come through.
For the number of people that were living there, not enough room. He was just very confused. He just couldn't think straight anymore.
They were going to try and rebuild.
But unfortunately, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Have you thought about divorce?
That really started to have Brett go into a tailspin.
We started questioning and what in the world's going on down there.
Brett and Janice Bunnell lose their home, along with most of their belongings, in a terrible fire. And now a shocking discovery is about to add to their woes.
They investigated it and said that they thought it was arson.
Are you accusing us of setting fire to our own home?
The insurance company was just jumping at ideas to try to get out of paying the claim.
Listen, what I was trying to say earlier, I'll say it again. I was at work, Janice was at her sister's.
The insurance company even went as far as to blame Mary for setting the fire, saying that she could have come home from school, set the fire, and got back without anybody noticing.
Meanwhile, Janice and Brett have their own list of suspects.
You know who I would be talking to? Is her ex.
Maybe it was the ex-husband that set the fire, because he got kicked out of the house, and I'm sure he was bitter because he didn't have any place to stay. maybe it was a brother because there was a family dispute with money with her mother and father dying.
The hell with you all!
The insurance company can't determine the cause of the fire, let alone who's responsible. And that's enough for them to make a decision.
The investigation went on, and they decided finally not to pay out.
Janice and Brett just didn't have the money to fight it with the insurance company. They weren't going to get any money or get their house back or anything. So they were just kind of out there in left field and didn't know where to go or what to do.
Brett never really vocalized his anger, but he would talk to them, and he would just be exasperated.
And just as they deal with this shocking blow, there's another.
The trailer with all the embroidery equipment was torched, was set ablaze.
Who's out to get us?
We really thought at first it was just an old house, you know, old wiring problem that caused the fire. And then when the garage burned down, then we started questioning and what in the world's going on down there. And it was really strange.
It was all very unusual. There was some graffiti sprayed on the trailer with some bad language, insinuating that it was Janice's brother that may have done this. And all of a sudden, everything started to collapse around him.
As their lives start to unravel, so does Brett.
We noticed things. You know, he used to stare a lot at things, and he used to do a lot of counting and a lot of obsessive compulsive things, where he would plant a couple of hundred flowers all in rows, and then he would go back and he would count each individual one.
It appears the stress is taking a physical toll on Brett too. He falls seriously ill.
Brett! 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 Are you okay? Brett! Help! Help! Brett! Brett, breathe! Wake up! Help! Brett! Brett, wake up! Wake up! Wake up!
Brett is rushed to the hospital. The prognosis isn't good.
He was sick. He was in intensive care. And, you know, you could tell he was holding on for dear life.
It very well could have been a stress-related illness because of all the things that had happened to him within the last short time frame. Doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with him.
A full week passes, and miraculously, Brett makes a full recovery. Back at home, Janice isn't doing that well either.
She had gotten to the place where she didn't care what the house looked like or anything. Brett and her were doing a lot of fighting and arguing because of all the tension with the insurance company not having enough money to do what they wanted.
Janice, it'd be great if you could just pull your weight around here and do a little bit of cleaning.
Why don't you just lay off her?
Isn't there someplace else you could be?
Hey, don't yell at my sister!
I think Brett would have been much happier without Betty in his life. That bothered Brett a lot, that Janice and Betty were always together.
I don't know how much more I can take of this.
Have you thought about divorce?
He never ever leave me.
He was very possessive and wasn't gonna let the marriage go to ruins. There was just no way. It wasn't gonna happen.
It's not the only burden Janice has to bear.
Janice, I really don't know how to tell you this with everything that's been going on, but I'm moving to Texas.
What?
I was ready to relocate and get a new start on my life.
Betty, you can't move.
I need you here.
I need a fresh start.
Everything around me is falling apart. You can't leave.
Why don't you and Mary come with me?
Maybe we could. Yeah, maybe we could.
The once happy marriage is now holding on by a thread.
The love was not there anymore. His dream of being happily married, I think that was very short-lived. When everybody left to go home, he would go sit in his car and he would just stare out into space. And I knew there was something wrong. There was something wrong. He did not want to go home.
He changed. You could tell look in his eyes, he's changed.
What's going on?
I want to start anew. I want to move to Texas, near Betty.
Brett did not want to leave.
His family was here in Columbus. He had his job here in Columbus. He didn't have a place to live anymore and had a lot of financial debt, but, you know, his family and his friends were here.
We don't need to do everything Betty does.
Well, I've decided. Mary and I are going. You can come with us if you want. It's up to you.
Janice says from the beginning of time that family is her number one priority. Clearly, marriage doesn't qualify as family for her. And what we're seeing here is that she's putting her sister over the marriage. And when you do that, it causes a rift in the marriage and could end the marriage.
Throughout this entire marriage, Janice has done nothing but say to Brett, you are as important to me as you are useful. So as long as you're doing something for me, I'm happy with you. But if you're not gonna be doing things for me, then I'm gonna up and leave and you can stay here.
When it comes to the point where Janice is saying, move to Texas with me or don't, it makes me wonder why he isn't finally wanting to assert himself and say, for once in my life, I'm gonna do something for myself. I'm gonna do something that makes me happy.
After serious consideration, Brett makes up his mind.
You're welcome.
Here, Texas is the nicest time of year.
He did not want to leave Columbus.
Let's get packing.
Really?
But he did not want to do life without Janice.
Even though life with Janice might be more trouble than it's worth.
We could see nothing good coming out of this move. Nothing.
I wish I'd have known what was going to happen, and I wish I could have seen the future.
Brett and Janice Bunnell decide to follow Janice's sister Betty to Texas after a slew of tragedies threaten to destroy their marriage. They're hoping it's the perfect place to begin again.
Seadrift, Texas is a small fishing community. It has less than 1,300 people. Everybody knows everyone, and it's just a real close community.
Hurry up, sweetie. We're leaving soon.
Right away, life improves for the Bunnell family.
Honey? Honey, I found it. I found it. The store.
They liked where we had settled. It gave us all a fresh start. We were excited about the move.
Okay, you two, we're heading to the beach. We'll be back later.
All right. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Brett even finds a job that lets him feel like a farmer again.
He was overjoyed. He said, I got a new job, I'm working for the city, and I'm mowing lots. You know, they're letting me kind of be out on my own, you know, and it was like the perfect job for Brett.
And with things going so well, Janice decides to take another stab at her dream, too.
I really want to do the embroidery business right this time. I want a store.
It gave her a chance to actually be in a shop and having the stability there and building up that type of business.
You know what? Let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, I want to show you something.
they got the money for the startup business down there from Brett's 401k. They withdrew all the money from there.
But the excitement fades as the reality of opening a store sets in.
When it came down to it, it was money again. You plan on 3 months worth of rent and electric and then having your supplies.
The money went. It was just like poof, it was gone.
And just like that, the old problems returned.
It was just a problem with paying house payments and regular bills.
The search for greener pastures has backfired once again.
He was at the end of his rope and just starting to lose it. And I think he was just so emotionally upset that he just couldn't take it anymore.
He would let everything pile up. Yeah, everything just piled up and he'd just go nuts.
I'm not at all surprised that Brett and Janice's problems followed them to Seadrift, Texas. So a change of location might provide a lift for a little while, but ultimately you bring yourself with you and your relationship problems if you haven't resolved them.
Once again, just like before, they went back into an ill-advised business that they did not have the capital to lose, to invest in and try something like that, especially after they had failed at it once before. It's just hard to know where that's gonna go.
It's never enough.
The fighting gets worse.
Do I have to tell you?
The fighting would bother me and it being around Mary all the time.
We need more money if we want to open on time.
Yeah, where from? You've sucked me dry. We have no money.
Betty, back me up here.
Betty's not as available as she used to be.
I'm not getting in the middle of this anymore.
She has a new man in her life.
Come on, let's get out of here. Betty. Look what you did. Betty.
Betty may leave the house and the couple's arguments behind, but she can't escape being drawn back into the drama.
It was about midnight. The phone rang.
Hello?
Janice was on the other end.
Whoa. Okay, I'll be right there. No, go back to sleep. It's just another fight.
But this time, it's not.
When I arrived on the scene, there was a body laying face down on the grass area. One tire was flat. It appeared they might have been trying to change their tire and got hit by a vehicle.
It has all the signs of a classic hit and run.
There was no money in the wallet, but there was a Social Security card, and it had a name, Brett Bunnell.
Investigator Todd breaks the news to Janice.
This is Bonnell.
It turns out she's already expecting the worst.
No, I knew.
When I told Janice that it was her husband that we found deceased on the side of the road, her eyes were watery. Janice said that she fell asleep after the movie, and when she woke up at 6:30 that morning, she realized that Brett hadn't come home.
Word of his tragic death makes it back to his hometown.
They were shocked that something like this would have happened to Brett.
I was devastated. I knew this man, I spent time with this man. I had somewhat of a bond with him, even though I was his boss. I loved the man for who he was.
As friends and family mourn, the Calhoun County Sheriff's Office digs into the investigation. In the light of day, everything looks different.
The autopsy report showed that there was blunt force injuries to Brett's head and basically to his right side. And being a hit and run doesn't explain the injuries. I was there on the scene, and I noticed, you know, there was no blood, there was no cast off, there's no mirrors, there's nothing to indicate that something did this to Brett. So that's why I just didn't believe that was a hit and run. It was something more. This accident scene was staged. He was placed there.
It looks like Brett was murdered.
It's just no way for a person to die.
I don't regret doing what I did.
Brett Bunnell's tragic death on the side of the road doesn't look like an accident for long. The coroner's report reveals he was beaten to death.
I knew Brett wasn't stupid enough to change a tire out in the middle of the road, like what they said happened.
It's a puzzling loss.
The investigation started seriously focusing as a homicide about 3 weeks to 4 weeks after we found Brett's body.
Naturally, police speak with Janice first.
Do you know anyone who'd want to harm your husband?
No. Everyone loved Brett. What kind of question is that? Shouldn't you be investigating what really happened?
She started saying, you know, we weren't doing our job and we were incompetent and we couldn't, you know, solve anything. Betty was there. And while I was talking to Janice, I noticed she began chain smoking like I've never seen before, just one after the other and very rapidly. It's just her demeanor that it was like something strange is going on.
Thank you, ma'am.
Days later, an anonymous phone call adds to the intrigue.
Renette Todd.
People in the community started calling into the sheriff's office with rumors that they heard that Betty hit Brett with the vehicle.
Investigator Todd decides to dig deeper into Betty's history, and she discovers she has quite a record. In fact, she's in violation of probation, and there's a warrant out for her arrest.
Police showed up. I got arrested for possession of marijuana. So they took me in for that and held me for questioning.
Betty's warrants was a tool in our investigation to see if maybe she would talk to us a little more freely if she thought she'd be able to, you know, not have to go to jail for the warrants.
Betty makes a deal in exchange for information.
Betty decided to come clean and tell her story.
Now, Betty, I've been getting a lot of reports saying that you killed Brett.
What? No, it wasn't. I'll tell you everything.
I had decided right then and there and told him what I had done and why I had done what I did.
Janice called me in the middle of the night. Hello? She was crying, and she asked me to come over. She said,
it's me. I need you to come over, okay? Brett and I just had a huge fight.
Okay. Okay, I'll be right there. Janice? Janice? I found her in the bedroom. She had taken a curtain off the window and she was using it to mop up. Janice?
Shh, Betty, come on. Come on, you're gonna wake up Mary, come on. Come on, what's going on? You have to help me.
There was blood everywhere. And Brett, he was lying on the bed. I went to feel for a pulse, but he was already dead.
Oh my God! He's dead! He's dead, Janice!
I couldn't take it anymore. Just to help me clean.
What have you done?
She just told me that he had been arguing with her, and she didn't say about what, But then he finally fell asleep, and she picked up the baseball bat. Struck him in the skull with it while he was asleep. Part of the baseball bat was still stuck in his skull. It had broke off. That's how hard she hit him.
What do you want me to do? I've got it under control. Just help me.
She said she needed my help to try and make it look like an accident.
No, I can't do this.
So I turned to leave, and I was gonna call 911. But then I saw my niece Mary, and I couldn't leave her like that. I didn't want her to wake up and see that, you know? I didn't want her to be scarred for life. So I told Janice that I would do whatever she needed. We put Brett in the van. She drove Brett's car and I followed. We took him out.
Okay, I got him.
And we put him in front of his car.
Put him in front of the car. Okay. Right here.
We had to make it look like he was hit while changing a flat tire.
Undo his shoe.
She took a knife and tried to puncture the tire to make it look flat.
They knew it was a road that wasn't traveled very often, and that's where they decided to leave Brett's body.
Okay, get out of here.
And we cleaned everything else up.
What about this?
She did it. She killed him. She murdered him, not me. I don't know where all these rumors are coming from, but it wasn't me. It was her.
On June 28, 2008, 2 months after his death, Janice is arrested and charged with the murder of her husband, Brett Bunnell. At first, she denies everything.
I had nothing to do with it.
Until she is confronted with the evidence.
They found blood spatter in the house that hadn't been cleaned up all the way.
It was her.
And her sister's own words against her.
Betty, I'm gonna need you to sign this, please.
I didn't trust her. I didn't know what she was gonna do next, what she was capable of. She was gonna get away with it.
I snapped. You have no idea what it was like for me in that house.
Police believe Janice had been plotting this for days, and so does Betty.
It's like she had all this planned out, like she knew what she wanted to do.
Janice got hold of the murder weapon days before.
Janice got the baseball bat from Betty. She told Betty she needed it.
And the motive seems pretty clear.
Janice had already called where Brett worked, asking about the insurance payout within just a couple of days of Brett being deceased. The nature of this murder is one as old as time, greed. It was all about money. She wanted Brett out the way, and she knew he had, you know, a small life insurance at work, and that's what she was going to do.
Some believe Janice may have set up her sister as well.
It is a possibility that Janice could have started those rumors that Betty hit Brett with the vehicle.
Cheers.
You would think sisters would be real close and tight, but they both turned on each other pretty quick.
Now that we know what Janice was capable of, the way that she murdered Brett and then staged the scene to try to make it look like an accident, it's clear that she was capable of causing any or all of the rest of the troubles that occurred in their marriage, from the fires to potentially poisoning Brett.
When I look at Janice, what I see is an opportunist, somebody that met a man who she could easily take advantage of and manipulate, and she did it the entire way through, until she eventually decided she didn't need him anymore and that he would be of greater value dead. While I would never actually blame a victim, I do look at Brett and I see him as somebody who so wanted a relationship that he was willing to overlook a lot of red flags along the way.
I think Janice, at the beginning of her relationship with Brett, had enough relationship experience and was savvy enough to have known that she should have run for the hills when somebody proposed to her after knowing her for 8 weeks, but she didn't. And I think that's probably because she saw in Brett somebody that she could use and did use then for a number of years thereafter. There really isn't much that would be outside of the realm of capability for somebody like Janice.
Janice Bunnell pleads guilty to first-degree murder and is sentenced to 45 years in prison. Her sister Betty gets some leniency in exchange for her cooperation with the police. She is sentenced to 3 years in prison for tampering with evidence.
I don't regret doing what I did to protect my niece, because she's being very well taken care of now. And what I done was all because of her. I wish I could change everything, but I have to accept things the way they are.
Brett is remembered as a kind man who was too easily taken advantage of.
Found dead on the side of the road. It's just no way for a person to die. He was a human being, and nobody should have to go that way.
I don't think Brett deserved anything like this, and I didn't think that 45 years was enough justice for him.